So God is the God of all comfort. When the Bible talks about him being the God of comfort, it means that he comes to us in our afflictions, in our difficulties, in our hardships, in our pain, in our suffering, and he comforts us in the midst of that pain and suffering. But being the cynic that I am, of course, I go, well, okay, if you're the God of all comfort, why don't you just, I don't know, take the pain away, right? Why, you know, you're comforting me in my pain. How about you just take the pain away? Or better yet, prevent the pain from ever happening, right? That would be comforting and comfortable, wouldn't it? I mean, in fact, I think we've talked about this a lot of times at the Orchard Church before, but I think one of the major idols or false gods that Americans worship is comfort itself. The idol of comfort, man, that is really appealing, because the God of all comfort, here he says he comes and he comforts us in our suffering, but the idol of comfort says, no, 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 you run away from all suffering no matter what, right? And I find that appealing. Run away from suffering, run away from pain, run away from conflict. I mean, we understand the idol of comforting has us do some terrible things, like, you know, your friend gets really sick and it's kind of a drag to be friends with them. Yeah, just cut them out, right? Stop making the phone calls. Run away from whatever is causing you pain and put up whatever barriers you have to in life so that you don't suffer. But man, it's appealing, because I don't like pain. I don't like going through the suffering that I have to go through. I know you don't like going through the suffering that you have to go through. So why does God choose to do things the way he did it? Why does God comfort us in our suffering? Why didn't he just take it away? Why does God choose to comfort us in the midst of our suffering? As we go to 2 Corinthians, this is more than likely the actual fourth letter that Paul the Apostle wrote to the church in Corinth. We have two of them. We don't have the other two, so I believe that would mean that the Holy Spirit did not inspire them and did not intend for them to be part of Scripture. So this is more than likely the fourth letter that Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. And we'll go more into those details later, but this is what he says to the church. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God at Corinth, with all the saints who are throughout Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So Paul here, he says he's an apostle. He is someone that Jesus Christ has sent personally to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and how to live in a positive love relationship with him. He says that God is blessed. He's the God of all comfort. And like we said in the introduction, he comforts us in our affliction. It doesn't say he takes it away. It doesn't say he takes the pain away. He says he comforts us while we go through the hardships of life. And right up front, he gives the reason. So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves have received from God. So Paul and Timothy, because he does say he's with Timothy, so Paul and Timothy say that the reason that God comforts us in our suffering is so that we can turn around and comfort others who are suffering. That's the big idea. He says, look, you've suffered much, and God has comforted you in that moment. So what God wants you to do is to take that same feeling you had and go and bring it to other people. When you have suffered greatly and experienced God's comfort, you need to go and comfort others that you find or see are suffering as well. Maybe in different ways, but you're saying, I've suffered too, and God comforted me. Let me go comfort them, believer or unbeliever. Let me go and help them out. Let's be honest, we've all suffered greatly in our lives, haven't we? We have. Some of us have faced destruction of our marriages. Some of us have been hurt by friends, family members, parents, children. Some of you have lost homes. Some of you have lost jobs. Some of you have gone through chronic depression through your entire life. Some of you have experienced prolonged periods of isolation and loneliness. Some of us have had illnesses, cancer in ourselves, or worse yet, in a loved one. Some of us have watched parents die, Family members die, friends die, children die. We've suffered a lot. We really have. What did I miss? What sufferings did I miss? I know I missed something. What are other ways that people suffer? Exhaustion, addiction, right? Hard for the person who's addicted and hate it and don't want to do it anymore and they're ruining their lives. Hard for the family who's trying to help them and they can't. Yeah. We've gone through so much, right? You have a spouse who, or a significant other or a family member or a child or a parent who doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Who isn't a Christian. You know how hard that is? Especially if they're antagonistic. That is incredible. It's so difficult. It hurts. Physically hurts. And yet, according to Paul and Timothy, God comforts us in that moment. Paul kind of restates his big idea here in verse 5. He says, "For just as the sufferings of Christ overflow to us, so also through Christ our comfort overflows." Basically, what he's saying is if you're following Jesus, you're going to walk in the footsteps of your master. Right? Remember what Jesus said? If the world hated me, it's going to hate you as well. In this world, you will, and he also said, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Right? You're going to have problems in this world. If you're following after Jesus, it is not going to be comfortable. But he'll comfort you in those moments. Because Christ, he suffered greatly, but his death on the cross comforted us. Verse 6, so if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patience, endurance of the same suffering that we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that as you share in the sufferings, so you will also share in the comfort. If you are following Christ, it is not going to be easy. In fact, we live in such a world where there will be suffering, there will be pain, there will be affliction. But Paul is saying that God will comfort us in the middle of it. And he says for himself, he was afflicted, but God comforted him in the middle of it so that he could turn around and comfort the church in Corinth, the Corinthians. And he says the same is going to be true for them. And so I have to imagine the same is going to be true for us. Paul understands this, that he gives an example of what happened. He says, "We don't want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of our affliction that took place in Asia. We were completely overwhelmed beyond our strength, so that we even despaired of life itself." I have felt that. Overwhelmed. I can't do it. I mean, you can feel overwhelmed by anything. You can feel overwhelmed because of finances. You can feel overwhelmed because of your time constraints. There's not enough hours in the day. You don't get enough sleep. You can't do enough work, right? Just absolutely overwhelmed by your children, overwhelmed taking care of your elderly parents, overwhelmed dealing with your adult children who can't get their acts together, right? Like, you could just feel overwhelmed over anything. And here Paul, he says, we are overwhelmed, and I so identify with what he says here. Beyond our strength, I couldn't do it. I can't do it. I don't have the power. So that we even despaired of life itself. Why was I even born? I wish I wasn't alive. If there was an off switch, I would just flick it right now, is what Paul's saying. That's how bad it was. In fact, I have a working theory. I'm not a psychologist. I've only taken a few psychology courses. But just from my own life experiences and talking with others, I feel and I would suggest that a lot of suicide is because of senses of being overwhelmed by anything. It could be overwhelmed with good things. I have too much work that pays me too much money. I have too many friends and I don't know how to deal with all that. Just this utterly overwhelming. And Paul says, we despaired of life itself. This is the Apostle Paul saying that. So if you've ever felt that, you're in good company. Verse 9, indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. So in his despair, where we're like, man, I wish I couldn't even, I wasn't even alive. He said, the only thing we can do is trust in God. We have nothing else. Nothing else. Verse 10, he's delivered us from such a terrible death, and he will deliver us. We have put our hope in him, and he will deliver us again. While you join us in helping us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gift that came to us through the prayers of many. So Paul, in the absolute, he doesn't give us the exact situation, but he's in the dregs of life. And in his despair, he calls out to God for help. What does God do? Does he take him out of the situation entirely? No, because he says he's going to deliver us, has to deliver us again. But what does God do? He comforts him. God says, yeah, you can't do this on your own. You don't have enough strength. You are too weak, and yet I will give you comfort. I will give you strength in the midst of your suffering so that you can continue on. Why does God comfort us in our suffering? Why doesn't he just take it away? He comforts us in our suffering so we can turn around and comfort others who are in despair, who are feeling overwhelmed, who feel like if there was an off switch, they would just flick it right now. So one major objection to this is, well, okay, God is all powerful. Why doesn't he just take the pain away, right? Like if he loved us, why doesn't he take away the pain now, right? Why is he comforting us, right? He's got to comfort us. Well, just stop the pain from happening, Lord. Okay, two answers to that. One is that's not the kind of world we live in. You realize that according to the Bible, we live in a fallen world. Sin has ravaged everything. It not just affects me as an individual, it affects how I interact with other people. It doesn't just affect people who are sinful, and the core of sinfulness is inward selfishness, right? It doesn't just make me sinful. It has ruined all of nature. Nature groans, we're told in Scripture, for the redemption of it through Christ. Even nature, this world is messed up by sin. And so we have personal evils, right? Like I go out and I key your car right now, that would be a personal evil. Or you have natural evils, right? We have hurricanes, we have tornadoes, we have diseases, we have cancer. We have all of these things. It's not the world we live in, but you realize what Jesus came to do was first and foremost to redeem our souls so that we can have a right relationship with God, so that whosoever believes in Christ can have eternal life. That was number one, but he promised he was coming again and he would make all things new. At one point in history, we don't know when, but the ache of our heart is to say, come Lord Jesus, come. He's going to come. He's going to remake the earth and he will make it the way it ought to be, not the way it currently is, because this is not the way things ought to be. So the reason he does not change everything right now is because he is waiting for that moment until all the people who will ever accept him will. So we suffer now so that more brothers and sisters can come into the kingdom of God. But it's not that God doesn't have a plan. He does. It's not that Jesus doesn't care. He does. But he waits for the fullness of time till all the believers can come into his kingdom, and then Christ will return. I hope that's today. I hope it's tomorrow. I hope it's soon. That's our prayer. Come, Lord Jesus, come. But in the meantime, we suffer, and as we suffer, God doesn't leave us here alone. He comforts us with his Spirit so that we can comfort others. So he doesn't turn off the pain right now because it's not the world we live in. It just isn't. One day it will be. But not now. But then the other reason is kind of like firefighters. Think about firefighters, right? Most firefighters are volunteers, and God bless them. I mean, that's really important work, and it's difficult, it's hard, it's dangerous. But you know, when you become a firefighter, what they do is they don't like just say, oh, cool, Bob wants to become a firefighter. Great. So come on down to the station. We'll be over here. And then, oh, a fire. All right. Best thing to do is to just throw you into the middle of the fire and figure out what to do, right? Right? That's the best way to learn how to swim. Take them out to the middle of the pond, throw the kid in, and will they make it or not? I don't know. Terrible way to teach someone how to swim, by the way. And it's a terrible way to teach firefighters. Man, we keep losing firefighters. They don't understand how this equipment works. They don't understand how fire works. They don't understand when to open windows and when not to open windows. Man, they just don't get it, right? No, of course not. They just don't take the firefighters and, you know, the volunteer and say, all right, you're a firefighter now. Go, right? They have to train them. They've got to train them how the equipment works. They have to train them how their gear works. They have to train them when to go in, when not to go in, how to save people, how not to save people. And through that training, it is exhausting. It is hard work. It is difficult work. It is painful work. Right? You see sometimes they're training out here. They light a fake building on fire and, you know, send the workers in. It's not a great day, right? It's not like, oh, cool, we got to pretend to go in a burning building. But is it worthwhile? Is that training worthwhile? Why? Saves lives. Saves lives. It saves others' lives. It's training them so that they can go and actually be helpful rather than if I was like at a fire and I'm like, I don't know, someone get the garden hose, right? Like, I mean, that's not absolutely worthless, but it is pretty close. Like almost anyone could come up with that, right? But it's worthwhile because it saves lives. I think the same thing's happening with us is that God allows us in this fallen world to go through these moments where we were like Paul and we're like, I can't do this on my own. We finally cry out to God and he says, of course I will comfort you. Of course I will rescue you. Of course I will preserve you. And we feel, we experience the Holy Spirit in that moment. And we experience his comfort even if the situation doesn't change. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. But as we experience that comfort, we look out into the world and we see so much suffering. We see so much pain. And Paul is telling us, the Spirit of God is telling us today, you see that pain? Go comfort them the way the Holy Spirit comforted you. He comforts us so that we can go out and comfort others, whether they're Christians or not. I remember years ago, the church I grew up in, there was this woman, her name was Leslie, and she had gone through breast cancer and then was healed of it. Doctor said, it's gone, it's in remission, we're fine. And then I think like 2 or 3 years later, there she was back again. And she was telling us the story, and she said, I can remember just so being so angry at God. I'm in the waiting room and I'm angry and I'm so frustrated. Why? You know, I thought you healed me. I thought this was over. I gave you the praise. I gave you glory. I shared my testimony and now here I am again. Why? And as she looked around the room, she realized that she was not in the same state of affairs as the other women who were there waiting to see the doctor. She was angry, but she had hope. She was disappointed, but she was comforted. And she said she realized in that moment, God had put her there in that moment so she could comfort the others with the gospel of Jesus Christ that were in that room that did not have hope, that did not have hope of comfort. Why does God allow us to suffer? And why does he let us, why does he choose to comfort us in that suffering? Why does God choose to comfort us in our suffering? It's so that we can turn around and comfort others in their suffering. Some of you are here right now and are saying, yeah, what about me, right? Like, I'm suffering right now. I'm not feeling it, right? It sounds good on paper. Sounds good when you say it, but I'm just not feeling that comfort. Well, two things. First of all, make sure you're a Christian. Okay? Because the comfort of the Holy Spirit is only available to people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're only filled with the Holy Spirit if you've trusted in Christ. So make sure you're a Christian. And it isn't a magical formula. It isn't a whole process. Salvation is a free gift from God. We trust that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again. We repent of our sins and we are believers. Confess that, God, I am a sinner and I need the forgiveness that comes from Jesus Christ. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. And when that happens, your sins are forgiven. God, the Holy Spirit comes, dwells within you, fills you, leads you, guides you, and is available for comfort. So first of all, make sure you're Christian if you're not feeling comforted. But second of all, there are some of you who are here who are Christians and you're saying, yeah, but I'm going through this pain, I'm going through this torment, I am not comforted. All right, well, turn off the cell phone, turn off the radio, turn off the news, which is good advice almost any time these days with the 24-hour news cycle. Be informed, but, you know, more than like half hour, 40 minutes a day is probably not healthy. I'm not going to say probably. I'm going to go out and be bold and say not healthy for our souls. Turn off the news. Turn off the TV. Turn off the cell phone. stop, look, and listen, and actually pray to God. God, I am struggling here. I'm struggling with my kids. I'm struggling with my parents. I'm struggling with my spouse. I'm struggling with this illness. I'm struggling with this physical pain. I'm struggling with this depression. I am struggling with everything. I need your comfort now. And beg him in your prayers. And in the name of Jesus, he will comfort you. That doesn't mean you don't go and seek out help other, right? But in the moment, the Holy Spirit, he will. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. I think far too often, and I'm totally guilty of this as a Christian, where I get passive aggressive with the Lord. Does anyone else get passive aggressive? Where you're just like, I shouldn't have to tell you what I need. You should just know, right? But everywhere in Scripture, we see Jesus in the Gospels, we see James say, you don't have because you don't ask. Right? We don't ask. We're just, well, he knows. He's omnipotent. He knows everything. He's omniscient. He knows everything. So I shouldn't even have to tell him. Yeah, well, okay, guess what? God puts such a high value on his personal relationship with you that he will withhold the answer to your prayers until you actually communicate with him. You don't have because you don't ask. It's just so miserable. Oh, you know, God, could you do something? Passive aggressive. God, I need your help, please. I need your comfort right now. And you know what? Honestly, I think that's why some people fall asleep at church. Praise God. I used to be offended when people fall asleep at church. Actually, there hasn't been a lot of people falling asleep at church, and I'm very frustrated with that. Probably means I'm not doing something right. We used to have a guy who'd come here, like, he would, like, 2 minutes into the sermon, he was gone. I'm like, oh, you didn't even give me a chance. But I really think that is, that's why, because people are so frustrated, and they're crying out to God, and they're here in this moment. They quiet their hearts. They're able to cry out to him in prayer and in song and hear in the word. And they just are so filled with God's presence that they're finally at peace and they can fall asleep for once. I mean, that's cool. And I choose not to be offended anymore. Here's the other thing. And I'm going to ask the church here to do maybe a hard thing. But there's one more component to this. Sometimes we cry out to God and ask him for comfort, but sometimes we need to call out to our brothers and sisters in Christ and ask for help. And ask just for a listening ear can be the most comfortable thing. Church, if you knew someone here in this room needed a listening ear that you could comfort them with, would you be willing to do that? If you're willing to be a comforting ear to somebody, would you stand up just where you are in place? I'm not going to make you do anything crazy. I'm not going to call on you. You're not going to have to answer. Guys, look around the room. If you feel alone, if you feel uncomfortable, if you need comfort from God and you're calling out to him, these are your people to go to. Call them up. Talk to them after church. Hey, can we talk for a few minutes? Go ahead and sit down. God promises us comfort. He will give it to us. We need to reach out sometimes. Well, we always need to reach out. Reach out to God. Reach out to his people. Why does God comfort us in our pain? He comforts us so that we will turn around and comfort others. So if you're here and you're living in pain and anguish and agony and suffering, call out to God, but also reach out to others. Choose to try and comfort them as well. You'll be amazed at what God does through you and through our weakness. The easy thing to do is to get bitter when we're suffering, bitter when we're going through pain. Paul says, keep crying out to Christ. He will comfort you. Keep calling out to the Holy Spirit. He will comfort you. He will. Call out to God's people. They will comfort you. Just as the church in Corinth comforted Paul. We're all in this together. We'll cry out to God together. Don't get bitter. Get comfort. Let's pray. Father, Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. We come here, a weary people, broken. Father, there are some people here that are physically exhausted. Some people here that are emotionally, spiritually exhausted. Father, we are so wiped out. This has been such a trying several years on so many dimensions. We don't know each other's pain. And often we don't share our pain with others. So Father, in the quiet of this moment right now, we ask you, Father God, to come and comfort us. Comfort us in the pain of our broken relationships. Comfort us in the pain of physical illness. Comfort us in the pain of the loss of a loved one, the death of a loved one. Father, it's so hard to talk about death sometimes. We use euphemisms, loss, gone home. But we need your comfort, and we need it now. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will come and fill us. If you could take away the situation, we will praise the name of Jesus. But if not, we'll praise the name of Jesus just the same as you comfort us in our affliction, in our suffering, in our pain. Thank you for giving us Jesus. Thank you that through his suffering on the cross, we can have our sins forgiven. Thank you through his resurrection, we can have life. Thank you that because of him, we know that this world of pain and suffering is not all that there is, that one day King Jesus will return and he will make all things new. He will bring in the new heaven, new earth, not the way things are right now, but the way things ought to be. And so even in the midst of our suffering, we pray, come Lord Jesus, come. It's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.